Gevura is based on Kavod Abrius. A lot of people make a mistake when the Chevra Kadisha brings in the Arad before they deliver the Hespedim. Everybody stands up and you think they're showing Kavod Ames. We never stood up on the person while he was alive. So why all of a sudden he stood up after he died? So the Bar Tanur explains on Mishnayos Bikurim that the standing up is not out of respect for the mace, it's out of respect for the Chevra Kadisha who are now doing a mitzvah. Same thing when they... Kvata brings in the baby to perform the bris milah, so we're not standing up out of respect for the baby. We're not going to stand up after the bris milah. We're not going to stand up for the baby. You're standing up out of respect for the kvata who is bringing the baby to perform a mitzvah with the baby. Thank you. So there is a din of kavod ha'meis, but there's a bigger mitzvah of kavod ha'chayim. The Gemara says in Ksuvah that if you have a group of people going with a chosin kala to celebrate their shivus in Anishma, and another group of people going with a mace to perform a funeral to bury them, and they come to a crossroads and it's a question who should go first, and there's no red light, green light, how do you decide? So the Gemara says the chosin kala take precedence over the mace. The reason given by the commentary by Mishit and Kubetzis is because a chosin kala, that's kavod ha'chayim. And the mace is covered on the reason of Kavod HaChayim takes precedence of the Kavod HaChayim. A lot of people have the non-observant Jews have the attitude as if by the Jewish people, death plays such a major role in Shiva and Yahrzeit and Kaddish and Yizkor. It's not such a major, the other mitzvahs are much more important than this. Kavod HaChayim is much more important than Kavod HaMeisim. Even the mace, even by the mace, by Yisrael, even by a mace, is a din of Kavod HaMeisim. Kavod HaChayim is certainly more important than Kavod HaMeisim. This morning, Mrs. Horowitz spoke a little bit about Kevi Yisrael. This is an absolute halacha. You have to bury Yisrael in a separate place from the Nochrim. The Paskim say that you have to have a harchok of 8 amas, at least 8 amas in between, because every mace has a tfusas of kever, dalal amas around it, and the Pashto says that's a din deraisa. One of the Rabbanim here in Herzl published a tshuva about 15 years ago that the Dalaram is only the Rabbanim. I thought he made a mistake. I published the whole lesson explaining why it's not correct. The Pashto says that you cannot even have interlock in Tfisas HaGev Kever of the Nochri and the Yisrael. So you have to have a minimum separation of 8 amas. So in Europe, there were communities where they followed the minority opinion that if you have a fence separating above the ground, separating between the Jewish cemetery and the Gracious cemetery, you can bury the bodies up until the fence. And most of the majority of the Post can say that that's not correct. What is the fence above the ground? How? You expect that the mace are buried below the ground. There's no chitza below the ground. So the Pashto says you need a separation of at least 8 amas to separate between mace Yisrael and mace Akum. And then in addition, some of the poskim came up with the idea that you have to have a fence also. Just like in Hilchos Shabbos, there's a din if you have an erev, around the city. Moshe Feinstein has Jews, have an erev around Manhattan, so all of Manhattan, let's say, becomes a Mishut Sayyachah, but that there are tunnels or bridges where you can be carried in Manhattan and walk out of the Mishut Sayyachah without realizing, because you walk out without crossing Mechitza. But that's a din of the Rabbanu. That's called Nifras L'mokam Ba'asul. You're not permitted to carry the Rishus HaYachid if you can easily carry by mistake out of the Rishus HaYachid without crossing the Mechitza. You have to put a Tzuras HaPesach to separate between the inside of the Rishus HaYachid where you're permitted to carry and the carmelus of the Rishus HaYachid outside where you're not allowed to carry. So that's where some Achrenim came up with such an idea. In addition to the talk of the 8 amas in between the Mesa Yisrael and the Mesa Yachim, you should have an addition. Also a fence on top. But the Iker, the Dinah Parchoke, is they shouldn't have interlocking pieces together. So Rachik said over that there was a dispute in the days of his grandfather, Chaim Soloveitchik, if a Jew is mistakenly buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, so you have to get him out. Is it permissible for a Kohen to be Metami today? If the only one who is there to take the mace out would be a Kohen. You gotta have the status of the mace mitzvah. Mace mitzvah means if there's over there to be the top of the mace, so a nozer and a kohen gadol are not even allowed to be metami to the 7 relatives, but if it's a mace mitzvah, there's nobody there taking care of the tour that they are allowed to. So does this have the status of the mace mitzvah? He is buried, but it's a bizarre mace to be buried amongst the Nochem. So he said his grandfather, Chaim, was of the opinion that even a Kohen is permitted to be Mitamei if he's the only one who can do the job in order to take the Nes Yisrael out of the Goyish cemetery. And he said that the other Rabbanim, the contemporaries of Rav Chaim, did not agree. They thought that that doesn't have the status of Nes Mitzvah. The Rishonim comment at the beginning of the Parsha that Avraham Avinu says he has to ask permission first to designate an area as a cemetery. So they say, you see that it's fair that cities have zoning commissions and you have to ask permission to put a cemetery somewhere. You have to ask permission to put a house of worship somewhere. They want to have that because this should be residential. They don't want to have that. There should be a house of worship here. It's going to interfere with the people's ability to lead a normal life. You're going to have to act differently if there's going to be a shul or a church over there. So they say that's their dictates, and it's proper like that. But every city should have zoning commissions. You have to ask rishus. And Avraham Avinu makes the request from the B'nai Ches. So he makes a strange statement. Says, "Gev toshav anochi imochem." Rashi quotes from the Medrash. It's such a strange expression. "Ger" means I'm a stranger. "Toshav" means I live here. What kind of a lesson is that? So Rashi quotes from the explanation from the Medrash. Rosh Lechik has a famous essay where he explains that the Jewish people are floating around in this world. We're really a ger toshav at the same time. A toshav, we have to work for the welfare of the world. We have to try to take care of all the problems of poverty and all the sicknesses and crime and everything. We have to work on everything. And on the other hand, we're ger. We have totally different mission in life. We're doing avodas Hashem. And totally different from all the humans. So we have to do both at the same time. But it's all about a ger and a toshav and living in this world. The Gemara says in the beginning of Kiddushin that there are three different ways to initiate a marriage. And the way the practice that we have is we give a ring, that's Shavakesef. Shavakesef is Dinat Kikesef. If the Chosin would write out a shtar, Ariyah Kodesh is going to give the shtar. So the Rambam quotes the way he interpreted, the way his Rabbein interpreted the Gemara, that's a form of Kiddushin based on Shavakesef. That's practically explicit in the Chumash. But the Torah said that's the way one gets divorced. And the Pasuk seems to say one can get married in the same way one gets divorced by Kiddushin Shtar. But Kiddushin Kesef is purely Torah Shabbat. And we know that historically there are different groups of Karaites. There are Karaites who came from Europe, from Asia, from Africa. Each group has their own shtick. But outside of Shalosh Abahem, all three groups are not Gerus Kiddushin Kesef. None of them have any Kiddushin Kesef, because they never follow, they don't accept any Torah Shabbat. So the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, even though Kiddushin Kesef, the Bayas, we do a ring, a Shavu Kesef, that's Torah Shabbat Peh, on top of Torah Shabbat Peh. Even if you give cash, Kiddushin Kesef, it's only Torah Shabbat Peh. You don't even give cash, you give Shavu Kesef. So the Rambam writes that our practice is, Karnogu Kol Yisrael, the Kaddish B'Kesef. The meaning by the Jews is that we use Dafki Kiddushin Kesef. What do you mean the meaning by the Jews? He's writing a Sefer for the Jews. He's the meaning by the Orthodox Jews as opposed to the Karaites. Our meaning is that we use Dafki Kesef to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh. Rambam has such a similar expression in the beginning of Hilchos Milo. He quotes the Gemara, one can perform a bris Milo with anything that's cut, so it can have a sharp knife, or you can have a sharp piece of glass, or a blade of grass that cuts. Sometimes people cut their fingers on the back of an envelope, on the edge of a piece of paper. Anything that cuts well, you can use for the bris milah. Then the Rambam says, the meaning by the Jews is that we use a knife. What do you mean by the Jews? Don't observe bris milah. It means, so the commentaries explain, because by the Karaites, they have an insistence on using the scissors. Because they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, but they had to make up their own Torah Shabbat Peh, because there are a lot of things that are unclear. So there's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that says that the 40 years of Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, the Gemara says the weather conditions were such that most of the parents were concerned that it would be unhealthy to perform bris milah. Only Shevet Levi wasn't worried, they had more bitachon, and they performed bris milah. The rest of the Shvatim didn't observe bris milah at all, till they came in Teretz Yisrael. And the weather conditions were such that everyone would be happy doing this meal. So the Baruch Shalom instructs Meshur Benun, Kach Lecha Harvos Tzuri, Shuv Malas B'nai Yisrael Sheinis. There was a big national bris milah that was performed in Mitzrayim right before Korban Pesach, and now they had to do another national bris milah for all of those who were born in the Midbar the last 40 years. So because the Pasuk uses the plural, Charbos Tzurim, so the Karaites came up with the Roshes of Torah Shabbat, you have to have two knives, one cuts against the other. So the Rambam starts on Hilchos Milah, you can use anything that cuts, a knife, a scissors, a blade of grass, a piece of paper, a sharp piece of glass. But the meaning by the Jews, it means by the Orthodox Jews, as opposed to the Karaites, the meaning is that we, the doctor, do not use the scissors, to go out of our way to demonstrate that we don't follow the Karaites. There's a famous comment, that the Aben Ezrachi Alevi has. The laws of reheating food on Shabbos are fairly complicated. And a lot of people don't know what the dinim are. They think if you have a blech, everything is mutter, some things are mutter, some things are not mutter to reheat on top of the blech. So the Balabas of Aben Ezrachi writes in his commentary on the Rif. So maybe it would be advisable just to eat cold food on Shabbos. He says, no, whoever eats cold food doesn't eat anything warm. You have to check Tzorach B'dika Achra, maybe he's an Apikurus. Because the Karaites didn't light, they didn't leave any lights on Shabbos, they didn't leave any fires on. Because they interpreted the Pasuk, they said, Aresh Muhammad, they said, you're not allowed to leave any lights on in your house. Years ago, that's how you could tell, in the days of Iran, you could tell whether the people who lived in this home were Karaites or Orthodox Jews. If it was dark in the house, you knew that they were Karaite. The lights burned, that they were religious Jews. When I was growing up in this Fakir, the homes, the Jewish homes, where there were lights on, they couldn't leave the lights on all the time. So obviously they weren't Shabbos because they're going to turn them off. The Orthodox Jews couldn't afford to leave lights on, so most of the house was dark. They didn't have Shabbos clocks then. When I was a little boy, so by us it was Fakir. So that's what the Rabbi Mizrahi says, to eat warm food on Friday night, that's not such a kunst. Even if you don't leave any fires on, the food can be still warm from Erev Shabbos. But to eat warm food on Shabbos morning, that's only possible if you leave the fire on. So the Rabbi Mizrahi is quoting this in the commentaries quote this in Shulchan Aruch, that everyone has to be careful to have at least a warm cup of coffee or something warm on Shabbos in the daytime to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat. So this whole institution of getting married, Al Yidei Kesef, that's only known for the Torah Shabbat, that's based on the Gezeirah Shavah Kicha Kicha. The Chumash speaks about getting married, Ki Yikach Isha Hadosha, the verb Kicha is used in here, when Rabin purchases the plot to bury his wife, the Moris HaNach Pelo. So the expression used in the Chumash is, Vayikach Has Kalartza Miyodah. So we learn the Gezeirah Shavah Kicha Kicha. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch has in one of his essays in Chorev a comment. He says that the Maskilim used to make fun of the Chachamim that they treat getting married like you buy a horse and you buy a field, so you buy a wife. You pay money to buy a wife like you pay money to buy real estate. That's how the rabbis viewed it. Getting married is the same as buying real estate. So he says he doesn't think that that's what it's all about. He thinks that the reason why the Chacham picked these two words, kicha kicha, is to imply that we should all honor and cherish and treat our wives with such dignity and respect, like Avraham Avinu did. Even after she died, he spent a fortune of money to buy such a bekavadik plot to bury her. So that's why they chose to learn out from it. They could have made a difference there, Shabbat kicha kicha. They chose to use this passage that every Jewish husband should treat his wife like Avraham Avinu treated his wife. We have in the parasha all the dinim, a lot of inyanim I learned that regarding shiduchim. First of all, you have Eliezer, Eben Avram offers a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says in Brachos that a shidduch is one of the things you have to daven for. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Azos Yispal Kol Chosid Le'Eis Mitzo. The Gemara says, Eis Mitzo Zu Isho, Shenem Amotze Isho Amotze Toi. You have to be mispala for that. So that's what Eliezer is mispala, that the shidduch should work out well. Mara says you have to daven for everything. Mara says, what should a person do? Let's say people don't have any children, so what you should do? Then Mara says, A, B, C. Then the Gemara says, offer a tefillah. Then the Gemara says, what you should do in order to make a good parnasa? Mara says, do A, B, C. Then the Gemara says, offer a tefillah. Well, every step of life, you have to do ishtablus v'derech ha-teva. And you have to offer a tefillah. So by shiduchim, not different. One has to be mispah. The Gemara has a comment that all zibugim avin hashamayim. So the Gemara learns this out from Sukkim, from Chumash, and from the Dima, from Ksumah, so the Pasuk of Chumash is the Rei Sedra, that when Eliezer explained what his mission was, so the family of Rivka said, Me'ashem Yotza HaDover, that we assume Zivugim Amin HaShemayim. The Rambam has a famous essay, we call it the Shemayim Prophet of the Rambam, we don't have a better name. The Rambam wrote an introduction to his commentary on Pirkei Avos. Rambam has a Pirush HaMishnayos. He has a running commentary on Pirkei Avos. So he wrote an introduction to the commentary on Pirkei Avos. It's eight chapters long, so it's called Shemayim Prophet of the Rambam. Okay. It's the Mabo to Pirkei Avos. So he writes there that there are those who believe that everything is Min HaShemayim. So he says, Shiduchim can't be Zidukim can't be Min HaShemayim. If a person is religious and he marries a girl who is not observant, so she's going to pull him down. And if a person is not so religious and he marries a girl who is very frum, so she's going to pull him up. So this is all B'chir HaChashis. The Gemara says, Halkol B'dei Shemayim Chutz V'Yiru Shemayim. This is part of Yiru Shemayim, whether you're going to be observant. You're not going to be observant. How can you assume that Zivugim are Min HaShemayim? So the Ram says, Zivugim are not Min HaShemayim. So in the standard edition of the Gemara, Avodah Zarah, in the back of Avodah Zarah, they have the Pirkei Avos, and they have the commentary, the Rambam Shmuel Prok, and they have on the bottom of the page, if Yaakov Penin has a comment, the Rambam is wrong, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Pharisee says, Zivugim are Min HaShemayim. The Rambam writes that in rare cases, Zivugim will be Min HaShemayim. If a person is such a wonderful tzaddik and deserves to be blessed with a wonderful wife, so then the Min HaShemayim will see to it that he'll be rewarded to get a wonderful shidduch. And if a person is a big Russian, he deserves to be punished, and the Min HaShemayim will see to it that he gets stuck with a witch. They'll punish the Min HaShemayim. But under normal circumstances, the Bugman of the Ram says, I'm not Min HaShemayim. So that's the Pella, that's what Rabbi Yaakov Penin says. How can he say that? Doesn't the Gemara say, from care? There's the Bugman of the Min HaShemayim. So the commentaries explain, the Gemara in the first daf in Masech HaSoito says that Zivugim HaMin HaShemayim depends by the Zivig Rishon or Zivig Sheni. So the Rambam understood Zivig Rishon, Zivig Sheni doesn't mean your first wife or your second wife. The Rambam understands that all of us are Zivig Sheni, everybody is Zivig Sheni. We all got married, I got married when I was 25. I wasn't a little boy. My wife was also, she wasn't 25, she was nowhere near 25, but she wasn't a little girl. 10 years old. So the Rambam understood the Gemara. Zivug Rishon means when the children get married at a very young age. So the personality hasn't yet been formed. We don't know what's going to be from them. So that must be that's Min HaShemayim. But when people get married later, on in life, the Rambam himself got married later in life. One gets married later in life. Then the Gemara says they pick their own Zivugim. You pick someone who's similar to you. So that's what the Rambam is talking about. Because everybody today is really a Pchina of Zivig Shev. If it's Zivig Rishon, then the Gemara says that those Zivugim would be Min HaShemayim. It's interesting to say, Sefer Hasidim has a comment based on the Pasuk in today's Sedra. Some of the boys have an attitude today, they take out a girl, and the girl doesn't want to marry him, so it's a big competition. The boy has to keep on chasing after the girl till he gets the girl to give in, till she's going to agree to marry him. So the Sefer Hasidim says you shouldn't act like that, because when Eliezer presents the idea of the shidduch to Rivka's family, so he tells her, tell me whether you agree or not, and if you don't agree, the etna, al yamin or al smol. I'll go to different families, to the right, to the left, I won't insist. So he says, from the psukim you see that if the girl says no is no, you don't keep on chasing after the girl. A lot of the boys today have this attitude, you have to keep on chasing after the girl until she agrees to marry you. So, remember, when I was dating, one of the rabbis pointed out to me the Sefer Hasidim, and he told me I should act according to what it says in the Chumash. We have a minhag that when the chassan goes to do the badekin, so the rabban go along and they give a bracha, chaseinu atayili al-feir al-vavad. That's the bracha that the pasuk says when Rivka was about to leave to go to Eretz Yisrael to marry Yitzchak Avinu, so the family gave that bracha. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's the practice. The rabbanim should go and say the bracha. You have to say it out loud, but to say it softly. The dog of Menvava, the comments of the Yehuda printed on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, he points out that in some communities in Europe, the meaning was that the chassan didn't go to the badekin at all, just the rabbanim went to the badekin. And the Rabbanim would give the bracha. The Badeka was in order to give the bracha to the Kal. That's the whole discussion. Why did we choose this pasuk from these people who are not known as tzaddikim? Like we say, Matovu Alecha Yaakov. Why did we choose to say the pasuk that Bilam HaRosha stated? Akasha. So that's a big discussion. But that's the meaning that the Rabbanim give this bracha. Parsha continues to speak a little bit when Eliezer came back with Rivka, back there it's Canaan, back there it's Yisro. So it says, Vayetzi Yitzchak Pasuach Pasodeh. So the Rashi quotes from the Medrash of the Gemara, Ein Sicha Le Tfilo, Tfilo Biyani Kiyatach, Vit Nashem Yishvach Sicha. So the Mashmas of the Pasuk is, Vayetzi Yitzchak Pasuach Pasodeh, the Yitzchak went to David Mincha, the Yisera, it says, it was late in the afternoon. So the Medrash has such a comment. The Ramah quotes this Medrash in its entirety. That originally there were six mitzvahs that were given to Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan was instructed he had to be a vegetarian, so he couldn't eat any flesh. He wasn't given the mitzvah of Eid Malachai because he couldn't eat flesh at all. Then after the Mabul, Noach was permitted to eat flesh. Yerek Eisev, Sati Lachemas Kol, he permitted to eat flesh just like the fruits of the vegetables. So then he was given, Noach was given the mitzvah of Eid Menachem. So that's why we call it the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, the seven mitzvahs that were given to Noach and his descendants. Really, six were given already to Adam Arishan in Parshas Bereishis. It says, Vayitzal Hashem Elokim al Ha'odam. And the Gemara understands in that passage all the six mitzvahs were given to Adam Arishan. And the seventh was given to Noach, so we call it the seven mitzvahs of Eid Menachem. So the Rambam said, this is where the Rambam gives you a whole history of all the 613 mitzvahs. So this way the world was running until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given one additional mitzvah of Bris Milah, and he instituted davening shachris. Yitzchak Avinu was given an additional mitzvah. He was given the opportunity to be mafresh maestris, and he instituted tefilas mincha. Where do you see that Yitzchak was given the opportunity to be mafresh maestris? Because the pasuk says, "But he wrote Baritz." Next week, seven. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. Harav Harishon she'oyad me Avraham. In addition to the famine, the days of Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak did everything the same as Yaakov Avinu. Medrash says he carried on Masar, everything exactly the same as Avraham Avinu. So just like Avraham Avinu went down to go to Mitzrayim when there was a famine, so Yitzchak was going to do the same. So on his way, he stops off in Chevel Aza, in Aza section. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you're not allowed to go down to Egypt. If you go down to Egypt, this will be a violation. You're not going in the footsteps of your father. Your father was not a korban oilah, so he was permitted to go to Chutzlort, but you were designated as a korban. It wasn't a misunderstanding by the Akedah. Avraham Avinu was instructed to designate his son Yitzchak as a korban, so he thought on his own. Whenever you have a korban, the Mishnah has in Shkolin, someone's walking in the street in the Yerushalayim and he finds an animal with a tag on it, that this is a korban oilah, he doesn't know whose korban it is. So they bring it to the base of Migdash and Yemakri, that there's a korban, whatever it says on the tag. Mafresh of the korban oilah, on behalf of whoever the owner happens to be. So Avraham Avinu understood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed me to designate my son as a korban oilah. The korban oilah, you have to be makriv on him as well. As he was about to shech the korban, so the malach comes and appears to him and he says, So he follows the instructions of the Malach, and then he asked the Rabbi Shalom, he didn't ask the Rabbi Shalom in advance why he told me to shech them. The Rabbi Shalom told him to shech. But then after the whole incident was all over, then he asked the Rabbi Shalom, I don't understand. First he told me to be Yitzchak, then he told me, you should kill, so what's going to be the Yitzchak? Then he told me, everything contradicts everything else. He didn't ask the question in advance. He understood what he was mechuyif to do, but he asked afterwards. That's how Dovid HaMelech says, "Tuv tam v'das mamdein ki b'mitzvah sechel hayamonti." The pasuk in Tehillim. So the Iri interprets the word "ki" as dalas v'shenis, four different understandings, and each one of the meanings has four different levels of understanding. The word "ki" is a tricky word in Hebrew, especially biblical Hebrew. So the word "ki" sometimes means because. Where ki often means despite the fact that, just the hepech from because. So here the Neri interprets, Tuf tam adas namdein, Rebbeinu shel olam, explain to me what's the reason of the mitzvah's ki, despite the fact that the mitzvah secha and monkey, I'm going to do the mitzvahs anyway. But I might as well, it would be nicer if I understand why I'm doing it. He's not asking the Rebbeinu shel olam, why am I doing it if I don't agree, if I don't understand it, I'm not going to do it. He's going to do it anyway. But yes, try to explain to me. Maybe I can understand. So that's what Avraham Avinu asks after the Hakeidah is all over. Then he asks. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, I didn't tell you to shech your son. I told you, Aleh Sham Liyolu, bring him up on top of Hamariah and designate him as a korban. You understood on your own correctly that whenever you have a korban oil, you have to be makrivim. Over here, there's a yotze min haklal. Instead of doing the shchit and the kabbalah, the halach hazvik, instead of doing the avodah to your son Yitzchok, who is a korban, do all of the avodahs to the ayah, erech as basrach v'kana. The avodahs that are done to the ayah will be considered as if they were done to your son, but Yitzchok was a korban oil. So that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam appears to Yitzchok, but he's about to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's ready on his way to go down to Mitzrayim, thinking that he's doing exactly the same as his father did. Yitzchak always did everything. He dug the same wells and he gives the same name. So the Zohar says, and that pasuk, he followed all of Maaser from his father. So he thought he was going to go to Chutz Lars. The Baruch Shalom appears to him and says, no, you're a korban oil. You're not allowed to leave. A korban oil, if you take it after Shechita, if you take it Chutz L'mkomo, either Chutz L'Azara, Chutz L'Yerushalayim, it'll become Nifsal B'yotzeh. The Baruch Hashem tells him, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. If you leave Eretz Yisrael, you'll be Nifsal B'yotzeh. So the Pasuk says then, Yitzchak wasn't permitted to leave the Eretz Mitzrayim. He had to stay in Aza. V'yizol Yitzchak Baratzahi, v'imtza b'shanahi me'ashorim, v'yibarachayi Hashem, he planted there. It wasn't Eretz Yisrael proper, it was only Chevel Aza, which is also part of Eretz Yisrael. If it wouldn't be part of Eretz Yisrael, Yitzchak, the Baruch Hashem would have told him before he went to Chevel Aza, now that I go to Aza. You see, Aza is also part of Eretz Yisrael. Not allowed to go to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is not part of Eretz Yisrael. It is part of Eretz Yisrael. And the Pasuk says that he planted there, and he found 100 times as much peiros grew than what he expected would grow. What do you mean he expected? So Rashi quotes the Medrash. Rashi made the Medrash famous. He's making a calculation in his mind, how much maisus will I probably have to be, how much will probably grow? How much will I designate as Maisa? It turned out that it was 100 times more than what he expected. He was making an Eimed L'Maisa. So the Medrash, the Rambam quotes his Medrash. The Medrash says, based on that, Yitzchak was given the opportunity to be Makrish Maisa. He wasn't instructed that he has to, but he was given the opportunity. If he wants to be Makrish Maisa, it'll take effect. So Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah. And he was the one who instituted Tfilas Mincha. And Yaakov Avinu was given an additional mitzvah, namely Gidah Moshe, and he instituted Tfilas Ma'ariv. So it's interesting, the Rambam quotes this, the whole Medrash. Soloveitchik once commented on that Medrash. What is the Medrash driving at? What's the significance of insisting that each one of the others was given an additional mitzvah, that each one instituted another tefillah? Soloveitchik pointed out that Mishnah Melech has a discussion in one of his Svarim, as a sefer on Agarta, for Russia's dropping, in the whole essay, he explains there seems to be a dispute among Tosfos and Rishonim, Tosfos and Ramban, whether the Ovis, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, heard about the Torah that they have the din of the Yisrael, or were they still the Noach? So some hold from a compromise sheet, and Rav Soloveitchik thought that compromise is the correct shot. To the extent that one has an obligation to observe mitzvahs, to that extent you have a Kedushas Yisrael. Whenever we recite the Birchas HaMitzvah, we say Shekirishana b'mitzvah Yisavet Zivana. Lushis Yisrael meets Kirishana b'mitzvah Yisavet Zivana. So Avraham Avinu, the Pasuk says in Chumash, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham, a bris with Yitzchak, a bris with Yaakov. What do you mean a Krisis bris? Krisis bris means that he gave Avraham Avinu a degree of Kedushas Yisrael, and Yitzchak Avinu had a deeper degree of Kedushas Yisrael, and Yaakov Avinu had a deeper degree. So what it means is that Avraham Avinu was given one mitzvah, Yitzchak was given an additional mitzvah, Yaakov was given an additional mitzvah. Otherwise, why would they have been in need for another Krisis bris? So that's what Soloveitchik thought, like the cup, like the middle sheep, and not that the others were B'nai Noach, and not that the others were Yisraelim. They had a partial Kedushas Yisrael. Until the days of Maimon HaSinai, when they were given the full 613 mitzvahs, then there was a full Kedushas Yisrael. So each one of the Ovis was given Kedushas, and each one of them added another tefillah. We start the Shema Nesri, we start of Akein, 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 Abraham, Akein, Yitzchak, Akein, Yankov. We want our tefillahs, we want to mention that our tefillahs are in the footsteps of the Ovis who introduced this idea. The idea existed before the days of Abraham Avinu also, there was tefillah, but they were the ones who instituted that we should daven every single day. So we introduce all of our tefillahs like that, even when we daven musaf and we daven neilah, not the three tefillahs that they composed. We always begin with that musaf ha'tefillah. We want our tefillahs to be accepted, b'tziruf, together with all the tefillahs of Aharon and Yitzhak and Yankiv. After that pasuk, when Rivka sees, Rivka is coming back on the camel, she comes back to Eretz Canaan, and she asks Eliezer, who is that? It was Yitzchak going to daven mincha, so he says, that's your husband. That's the boy that you're going to marry. So it says that she hatika chatzoyef batiskos. She took a veil and she covered her face. So some of the Mekarshim say that that's the idea that we have today, that we have a badeken. Others are of the opinion, others say the badeken has to be done by the chassid. The badeken, Abasha Weiss has a piece in this sefer. As he was speaking, I was nibbling from the sefer. So he quotes those who are up there. Some of the Rishonim say like that. But our thesis say that badeken is the ma'aser of nisun. How can we do nisun before we give the ring? So they have a whole discussion on that. So Rav Soloveitchik sometimes would designate that they should set aside two eidim for badeken. He didn't always do it like that. He did it for educational purposes, to educate the students who were there at the wedding. They should know that there is an opinion that badeken is nisun. We don't really pass on like that. And there is an opinion that nisun also needs eidus lukima, that you have to have two kosher eidim. Abasha White says, he quotes here, he never was makbid about that, because we're not makbid all the way that far. So there are those who insist that badeken must be done by the chassan. And others say, in the Dogon Rebava, the Nari Behuda writes, even according to that meaning, that the chassan doesn't even go to the badeken, only the rabbanim go. So the Nari Behuda writes, the rabbanim, it's itself as a the rabbanim are representing the chassan as if they are his shliach to give badeken on his behalf. And others say no, that's not the idea of the badeken. The badeken is mishum tzniyas, like in today's sedra. Rivka covers her face when she's about to meet her husband before they're about to do the nisun. Not the ma'aser nisun that has to be done by the chassan. Then in Shulchan Aruch they have a third reason for the badeken, not because of tzniyas, and not because that's the act of nisun, but rather that the Gemara says, if I give a ring to the girl, I've been dating the girl for the longest time, and we sent that wedding invitation, she agreed to marry me, but if she thinks that the ring is worth $2,000, it's really worth a dime, I put a quarter into the candy machine, and I got a chewing gum, and I got a ring together, and she's going to think that this ring is worth thousands of dollars, only worth 10 cents or something. So even though there is das kiddushin, but that's called the lack of smichas das. She was fooled in her mind. She thought that it's worth much more. So the Gemara says the kiddushin is not valid. Unless the chassan says harem u'kedeshesli, whatever it's worth. So in Shulchan Aruch they say the meaning is that under the chuppah the rabbi shows the ring to the eidim and he says, do you think it's shaveh pruta? Of course it's shaveh pruta. He says, how loud do you think it's shaveh pruta? So the kallah should agree that even if it's only Shavuot Pruta, she's agreeing to marry. And we put a veil on her face so she didn't be able to see the ring. She probably picked out the ring. She picked it out. But in Europe, in many ways, the Kala didn't go to pick out the ring. So they would say, they think of Shavuot Pruta, she can't see the ring herself because she's covered with such a veil. So that's the one of the three reasons that they give why have Badeken, the Kala shouldn't see. The end of the Parsha, we read in the Chumash, the way Avraham Avinu marries Keturah, and I had a whole bunch of children. So the Gemara says, even though those children were not Jewish, Yishmael was also not Jewish, only Yitzchak in Korah Hazerah. Avraham Avinu had a lot of children, only Yitzchak was Jewish, the others were not. And Yitzchak had twin sons, Yaakov and Esav were twins, so the Pasuk says only Yaakov was Jewish, Esav was not Jewish, he didn't have Tushas Yisrael. But nonetheless, the Gemara points out, based on the Pesukim Mechumash, Avraham Avinu was obligated to perform the Bris Milah and the Bnei Keturah. Why? Because they were biologically, they were his sons, even though they weren't Jewish. Hagar, Keturah, whoever, they weren't Jewish over here. But still there was a chiyuv to do Bris Milah. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out, the Rishonim raised a question, when you have a mitzvah, you say two different brachas. When we perform a bris milah, so the well says a bracha, shekin shana the mitzvah, so tzivano ala milah, then the Abiyaben recites a bracha, lachnisi the bisa shal Avraham Avinu. Why do you say two brachas on one mitzvah? So the Tosfos Rid discusses that. And the last daf in Perek HaBlezer the milah. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains there are really two different mitzvahs. One mitzvah is ala milah, and that you had Avraham Avinu had an obligation to be mali in his sons who were not going to be Jewish. Yishmael and the Bnei Keturah were not going to be Jewish. So that's, we're doing a bris mila. Then, in addition to that, there's man hazeh, the bris mila, if I marry a non-Jewish woman and have children, that din doesn't apply. I don't have a mitzvah to be malo. Because today, the only mitzvah we have is to perform the bris mila as the beginning of the leading of the religious life of the child. You perform the bris mila as the beginning of the chinuch on the child, and then the father says the bracha, achnisa b'brisa, shalavam amin. This is achnos of the bris, not just a surgical procedure. The two brachas are for the two aspects of mila. In the days of Avraham Avinu, there used to be two aspects. One was milas haben, biological child, even if it's not the beginning of the Jewish religious life. The other one was the beginning of the religious life. Towards the end of the parsha, close with this, it's time to daven. And I used to sit in shul in Broyers next to there's an aguda minyan in Washington Heights. But those are not from Frankfurt, so the yekis are from Berlin. Davin from Hamburg, so they daven in the aguda minyan. The Broyers is Frankfurt, and the other daven. So I used to sit next to most of the people in the aguda minyan. Used to be from Hamburg, and one balabas was from Berlin. They didn't get along with him, so they had me sit next to him because no one wanted to talk to him. So this fellow, his parents were Litvakis. His father was a Litvak. He was in business, and he lived in Lithuania. He was on his way with his family to go to South Africa for business purposes when the First World War broke out, so he got stuck in Berlin. And he lived there in Berlin until the Second World War broke out, so he ran to America and he lived there first in Chicago, Cleveland, and then he lived in Washington Heights. So he says when Rabbi Weinberg, the author of this Riyayesh, left Lithuania and he came to Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin, so I think he divorced his wife, the whole parsha of the Atzma, and he came there, so he came as a bochum. So this Balabas's father was friendly with Weinberg from the Litvish yeshivas. So he invited him to eat by him on Shabbos. So every Shabbos he would eat by this family. And he would say, Divrei Torah by the Tish. And then every Shabbos he would say on the parsha. So they said, why don't we invite all the neighbors in? So they had a Shia Kavua, Shia Kavua, every Shabbos. This mediation, we give a Shia on the parsha of Shavua. So he says he always begin with Bertlach and the Vilna Gaon on the Seder, the other things that are famous for the Vilna Gaon, and then he didn't say his own. So he said on the Pasuk at the end of the Parsha, when it lists off all the descendants of Ishmael, so the Pasuk gives you the names, Umishma, Viduma, Umasa. They were the descendants of Ishmael. So Rabbi Weinberg said that, I'd never checked it up, in the introduction to the Quran, there's a line that says that the duty of every Muslim is to listen to the instructions, to be obedient, to keep still, and to follow the instructions. So Rabbi Weinberg said, that's a translation of this pasuk, Omishma, Viduma, Umasa. You have to listen, you have to keep still, and just do what you're obligated to do. We have to do the same as well. Okay? Okay, I'll put your order.
A couple of weeks ago, I was at a rabbi with a lucky Santa Claus. My friend was a pessimist.